Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this firm foundation that we have to stand upon during times of trial and tribulation and uncertainty. And we pray that you would help us to be able to choose to stand on that foundation during the troubled times in which we live. We pray, Lord, that we would be able to be lights and be able to proclaim the truth to those around us, to be able to give answers to those who are questioning what is happening. And we would ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we turn tonight to Proverbs 9. And the reason I chose this hymn for to correspond with this study is I thought that it went along well with this theme of wisdom that we're looking at. And the wisdom, of course, is built upon the truths of God's Word and the fact that we stand on those truths. And I'm going to go ahead and read the whole chapter, and then we will be looking at verses 10 through 12 tonight. Just to kind of give a context, really chapters 8 and 9 are really treatises, so to speak, on wisdom. And wisdom is personified in chapter 8. And then chapter 9 talks about the benefits or the characteristics of wisdom and contrasts it with folly. And then we will be, like I said, be looking at more, we will be zeroing in on verses 10 through 12, talking about what the fear of the Lord is and the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has finished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you bear it alone. A foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call to those who pass by who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he who does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. So if we look at verse 10 through 12, we see here the characteristics or the benefits of wisdom and the definition of wisdom. Now, if we look at wisdom, really, if we look at wisdom in the ancient world, wisdom was treasured. Wisdom was valued. In fact, Solomon, who wrote most of the Proverbs, asked for wisdom, as we know, when he was told he could ask anything he wanted, and he asked for wisdom, and God gave him both wisdom and riches because he did not ask for riches. But wisdom was something that was very common in the age, and it has been ever since the ancient times. Isaiah 29:14 says, for the wisdom of the wise will perish, and the understanding of the prudent will be hidden. So wisdom, there was a worldly wisdom that Isaiah was speaking of in chapter 29. And then that verse is quoted by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19, where he says, starting in verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." And of course, here Paul is quoting Isaiah 29:14. And then he goes on in verse 20, and of course he's living 700, almost 1,000 years later when Solomon wrote, proverb, and he's talking about now the wisdom of the Greeks and the Stoic philosophers of the day. And he says, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the preaching of the cross to save those who believe." So Paul is making a distinction here between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. And then Paul goes on to discuss that nature, as I said, in verse 20 through 22. And very common at that time, as mentioned, was Greek philosophy as well as Stoic philosophy. Stoic philosophy sought to accept things as they were, and they saw mental stability or emotional stability or the ability to be prosperous in the world as the ability to control your emotions by accepting things as they are. And so we see really Stoic philosophy even today. If you, you don't have to look very far to see that Stoic philosophy is everywhere. It's in books, it's in videos that you might see on the internet. It's all over the place in terms of how to control your emotions and how to gain better insight, how to be a better leader, and it can go on and on of how Stoic philosophy can lead to healthy living and a healthy state of mind. But all of these philosophies, all of this wisdom, as Paul pointed out, that there's a worldly wisdom and a godly wisdom. And basically, the worldly wisdom leaves out one very important point, and that is found in verse 10 of Proverbs 9:10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And you could look at probably 1,000 YouTube videos on Stoic philosophy and wisdom, and you will find nowhere, not one, that will say anything about the fear of the Lord. Not a single one. And that's because the world, by wisdom, seeks independence from God. It seeks that which is apart from God in order to live a healthy life. And then verse 10, or the second half of verse 10, is a parallel here. And it says, "And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." That is, an understanding of who God is, who we are, what our place is, understanding His attributes, His redemptive plan, His creation, and His purposes. Now stop and think about what it would be like to look at the world and all that is going on and try to figure it out without the knowledge of God, without the knowledge of the Holy One, without the knowledge of any of these purposes of Him. If we look back at Proverbs 2:5, it's just this same idea that the knowledge of the Holy One is really paramount to wisdom. It says in Proverbs 2:5, "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." And then all the way back in Proverbs 30, verse 2, says something very similar. Proverbs 32 says, "Surely I am more stupid than any man and do not have the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the Holy One. So the knowledge of the Holy One is really a key in understanding everything that goes on. Having a fear of the Lord and having a knowledge of the Holy One is paramount. Now, I like the way Matthew Henry described the fear of the Lord. He says, it is a reverence of God's majesty, a dread of his wrath, and they are both a fear of him, which is in the beginning the first step towards true religion, whence all other instances of it take rise. This fear may at first have torment, but love will by degrees cast out the torment of it. In other words, the love will cast out the fear in terms of fearing God's ultimate judgment, but it will not necessarily put out the fear of living a life that is in accordance with his will, because we don't fear eternal judgment, but we may fear his chastisement, which to some degree in the end leads to righteousness, but during the time is painful. So basically, the head must be filled then with the fear of the Lord as well as the knowledge of the Lord. So the fear and the knowledge of the Lord is really the key to true wisdom that is beneficial. Well, then we look at verse 11. We look at verse 11a here, first part. For by me your days will be multiplied. And then the second part of this verse says, and years of life will be added to you. Again, these are parallel ideas, the same as verse 10 or parallel lines as well. So we see here in verse 11, for by me your days will be multiplied. Now, the most obvious benefit when it comes to your years will be multiplied or your days will be multiplied is that you will have eternal life. Isaiah 53 says that of Jesus. When it says Jesus, when he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. Now, Jesus did not have children, but only those who would come to faith in him. And his days went beyond the cross as he rose and will return to reign on the earth. So even though Jesus died on the cross, it said that his days would be prolonged and that he would see his seed, being those who would believe in him. So being the days being multiplied, it is speaking for, first of all, of eternal life that the believer has, that those who seek God will have. But then there's also, though, a promise, as promises through the scripture, of even, I shouldn't say a promises, there are principles that we can say that we will look at that even would increase life expectancy on the earth. Of course, that is found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, where it says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the earth. And then if we look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, there's this idea that's repeated. It says in Ephesians 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, does this guarantee that every person who honors their father and their mother will live to be 100 years old? Well, no, we know from experience that isn't true, because we know many people who live godly lives don't necessarily live to be very old. But the reality is this: if you don't honor your father and mother and you are a rebellious child, what happens to rebellious children oftentimes? If we look at Hophni and Phinehas and Amnon, we can see that it definitely leads to early, it can lead very often to early deaths. So there are certain principles that the odds are, if you live by this very basic command of human relationships, you are less likely to engage in dangerous behaviors such as crime, drug use, promiscuity, which are known to shorten or reduce life expectancies. It's almost like a statistical analysis. You know, people, insurance companies, bet that basically they can give out so much money, they can charge you so much, and they can bet based upon your lifestyle, actuarially speaking, how long you're going to live. Now, they may be wrong in some instances, but most of the time, they're correct. And that's why insurance companies can make money, is because they're correct more than they're not. So that's the same kind of the same way as we look at Proverbs. Proverbs is really principles of life that hold true in most circumstances, but they're not guarantees. And then, of course, in verse 11b, the second half of it, is there's a parallel idea, although somewhat more specific, where it says years will be added to your life. Okay, it says, verse 11 says, "For by me your days will be multiplied," and then the second part of verse 11 says, "And years of life will be added to you." Okay, so we look it back in again, and again having this idea. I remember Dr. Lindis, our family physician, one time asked Patty if she went to church and if she went every week, and she said yes. He says, "Well, you just added 10 years to your life." Again, looking at just pure statistics and generalities. Again, we know that that doesn't always work out. But here we see in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 16. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 16. "Length of days is in her right hand," talking about wisdom, "in her left hand are riches and honor." And then we look at 10:27, just a chapter over. 10:27. We see, "The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened." Now, we also have the reality of the opposite effect at times. We see in Psalm 73, which we will look at in a minute, the fact that it seems like sometimes the wicked actually prolong their days. But again, as a general principle, those who apply their hearts to wisdom, those who seek the knowledge of God, those who live in accordance with the fear of the Lord, days will be multiplied and years of life will be added to you. And then verse 12 says, "If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone." So here, verse 12 expands out to not only living longer life, but also looking at the benefits in general of the fear of the Lord. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. In other words, living in the fear of the Lord or living with wisdom, you benefit yourself. It is a gain for you to be able to live longer, but also to be able to live better. If we look at Proverbs 3, verse 16 to 18, 3:16-18, it says, "Length of days in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasure, pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her." And then 4:22, same idea, "For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh." In other words, living wisely adds health to our bones. It adds life and pleasantness to our life because we don't go through all of the stressors that all of the other things can bring, as we said, such as addictions and broken relationships and so forth and so on, that can reduce life expectancies and make our lives more difficult. Now again, these are general principles of life. But the flip side of that is that the godly can also suffer persecution. And it can appear that it is the wicked who prosper. We see that in Psalm chapter 73, or Psalm 73. Psalm 73 says, "Truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. But then as we look down into 16, verse 20, he says this: when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakens, so, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. So we see here again a principle and a reality that sometimes seems to prevail. But still, as we look at the balance of things, as we look at the big picture, as we look at the actual burial, so to speak, people who are wise, people who seek God, people who fear the Lord, can sleep better at night because they have a clear conscience. They are reconciled to God. This brings a certain peace or life and health to the bones. The chronic stress of people who are not righteous or who struggle with sin can produce cortisol, a stress hormone in the body that over time can have worse effects on the body than even very traumatic events, because they eat away at the body's defenses and immune system. But in contrast, wisdom gives life and health to the bones, as we saw in Proverbs 4:22. Well, then the last part of verse 12 is sort of a contrast. If we look at verses 10 and 11, there are parallel thoughts. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Those are parallel thoughts. And then verse 11, again, are parallel thoughts. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. But then we have a contrast in verse 12. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. In other words, you benefit. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. So that's a contrast between wisdom and the scoffer. And as we often see in Scripture, there are contrasts. There are sections of Scripture where the wicked and the wise, or where the wicked wisdom, or the righteous and the wicked, or the wise and the foolish are contrasted. Then there are sections, and then there are verses, and then there are parts of verses. And here we have a contrast within one verse between the wise and the scoffer. Now, 13 times Proverbs mentions the scornful or scoffers. And so also do the Psalms. And it contrasts them with the wise. Now, if we look at Psalm 1, we're familiar there with the progression that we see of one who walks in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. So there's walking as they're walking past, they're moving, and then there's standing of looking, and then there's sitting. And of course, sitting is a picture of a permanent state. They have become established or settled in that state. And oftentimes you will find with the scornful or the scoffers that they have settled in their easy chair, they've put up their feet on the recliner, and they are very comfortable in their state of mockery against the righteous. And they sit there and they will oftentimes pontificate about how righteous they are, but how unrighteous the godly are. And they will mock God. They will sit in judgment over his word, and they have become settled in that state. And what does it say in verse 12? It says, you will bear it alone. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. It states here that they will bear their consequences alone. And as David pointed out, or Psalm 73 points out, is that they will have a bad end to their life if they don't experience it already, if they're not experiencing it internally, if they're not experiencing the lack of peace, that they certainly will at one point. So those are just some thoughts and some contrasts between the fear of the Lord and the foolish. And then the next section that we'll be looking at will be, in more detail, will be the way of folly in the rest of the chapter. Okay, that's all we have for tonight on that. Any questions or comments?